You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Winning is for Everyone. From time to time, some company will put out an ad that's a little peculiar to me, and there was one put out by Nike, and the ad slogan was, "Winning isn't for everyone." And I heard that, and I thought, what in the world does that mean? And then they show all these tremendous athletes who win everything, and then you sit there and go, oh, well, I guess it's just for them. And you say, well, but they're trying to highlight that, you know, those people are winners. And I thought, yeah, and all the people that aren't go, and I'm not. So apparently winning is not for everyone. Who knew? Here's some actual copy from that campaign. I have no sympathy. I don't respect you. I'm never satisfied. I have an obsession with power. I'm irrational. I have zero remorse. I have no sense of compassion. I'm delusional. I'm maniacal. I think I'm better than everyone else. I want to take what's yours and never give it back. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. Oh, there you go. Praise the Lord. And don't know where that is in the scripture. But you say, well, but that's the mentality that it takes to win. That's not true. Right? If that's who you have to be to win, then something's gone terribly wrong. Now, some people have that attitude, and maybe they win, but who are they as a person? Right? Who do you end up as a person? Now, on the flip side, Oswald Chambers said this, when it is a question of God's almighty spirit, never say, I can't. But you have to preface it. You cannot just say, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And because I said, I think I can, I can. That's not true. But when the Spirit of God is behind something and within someone trying to work something out in your life, then the answer is, I can, which means that anyone who is subjected to the authority and power of God Himself can do whatever it is that God has asked them to do. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. So I think one of the basic lies that the devil tells people is, you're not good enough. You'll never make it. This is not for you. Only a few people win. You're not one of those people. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to make it. And it's not scriptural. We are not, as Christians, competing with anyone else. Hebrews talks about running the race that is set before you. That race is not against another person. That is running the race that He's given you to run, laying aside every weight, the sin that so easily besets you. Run your race. You say, well, how do I win my race? You run your race to the best of His ability to run in and through you. You win. If you say, well, what about so-and-so? You're not competing with someone. You're just deciding to run the race or not. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, for the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And again, I try to point this out along the way. The Old Testament talks in terms of God being with you. In the New Testament, if you're a Christian, it is God being in you. So the Lord your God goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. How can you lose if God is not just on your side, He's on your inside, and you yield to Him? You cannot lose. Go to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And again, the New Testament, He moves in and then He says things like this, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, we as Christians sometimes leave Him, we try to leave Him and forsake Him. The problem is once He moves in, He cannot move out, will not move out. So wherever you go from Him, He goes with you. Nothing can separate us. Psalm 60, verse 12. Through God, we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. So when you think in terms of your enemies, you say, well, who are my enemies? There may be people who you see as your enemies. They don't like me. Maybe even someone wants to see you dead. And back in David's day, there were Saul, there were other people who wanted him like literally dead. But the worst enemies that we have in this life are not flesh and blood. Your wife, your husband, your coworkers, some friends, ex-friends, these are not your enemies. It's principalities, it's powers, it's the rulers of darkness in high places. Those are your enemies. And you cannot take those enemies on and win. But when he is with you, when he is in you, and as this verse describes, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. He's the one that fights the fights and takes them out. Scriptures that talk about stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's him. You got to depend on him. Now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's start in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So is it a question of if God is for us? In my case, there's not a question that he is for me. I used to think that. I don't think that anymore. I believe, I know now that God is for me. So if and since he is for us as Christians, he is for me, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he was willing to give up Jesus for you, what do you think he's going to hold back? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? These answers are rhetorical. No one. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, anything in that list, can it separate you from Christ? The answer is no. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now look at verse 37. Yet, in all of these things he's listed that could come against you, yet even if this is what comes against you and it looks like you're defeated, yet in all these things, we applying to Christians, are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, I've been trying to figure out and did some research, and I'll try to explain this to the best of my ability. I know what it means to conquer something. What does it mean to more than conquer? You conquered it. What could that possibly be? So you look up the words for this more than conquerors, and it translates, we overwhelmingly conquer. It's two words, and one of them is hooper, which means over and beyond. And then the word that we get conquer, and guess what the root word of that word? It's where we get the word Nike, which means conquer, overcome. Why do you think they picked Nike for the name of the company? Because that's what it means. So they talk about winning. Jesus talks about way more than winning. Anybody remember a horse named Secretariat? Okay, Secretariat. Famous racehorse, 1973, won the Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths. And if you've seen this race, it is absurd. He didn't conquer the other horses. He obliterated the field. 31 lengths, broke the record, 2.24 in a mile and a half race. That was the third race, I think, of the Triple Crown. Now, you see something like that and you go, okay, he didn't just beat him by a nose. He was more than a conqueror. Blew him away, crushed it, out of the park. Think about that, by the way, out of the park. If you hit a home run, that's a big deal. If you hit a home run out of the park, it's not even in the field anymore. So what is God trying to tell us in these scriptures? Now go back and let me finish this. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So this is not a situation of, whew, we made it. This is when he gets done and you get done trusting him and follow him. You stand there and go, not even close, not even close. For I am persuaded, Paul goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you take a person who has just run a race like that, and one with those kind of ridiculous beyond odds, crushing it, how do you think that person is going to look and feel? We have got to start winning the way he said we can win and figure out what more than conquerors is, this beyond thing, so that when the world sees us, they don't just say, oh, wow, it looks like your life's going better than mine. They're like, what the heck? What have you got? How do you have so much joy and confidence and belief? And it's not positive thinking. It's like someone else has taken over your life. And we wonder why the world doesn't want our Jesus, because our Jesus may not be free to live his life in our life, through our life, in a way that they see that and go, I want what you got, and if it's someone else, show me who he is. Go to Judges chapter 7. Now, this may take a minute, but this is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures, and I'm going to read it to you for a number of reasons, one being you have to understand that God is a God of glory. His glory, not your glory, not my glory. The job is not to make me look good in Jesus' name. The job is to make Jesus look good in Jesus' name, where he gets the honor, he gets the praise, he gets the glory. So look at Judges 7, go to verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, now this is like before any battles, anything even starts. Okay, here, dude, here's the problem. The people who are with you are too many. You got too many people. Aren't we trying to gather a large army to take on a large army? And you'll see in a minute how large it was. People who are with you are too many. For me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So if you go to battle with this many people and you win, you'll say, oh, look what we did. He said, I'm not doing that. And you're not doing that. So here's the answer. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of all the people, saying, and here's all you got to say. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. Boom, they're gone. Just like that, one sentence, 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. So he's got 32,000 people, says this statement. Is that right? 22,000, yeah. 10,000 are left. You go, okay, great. We can do it with 10,000. Still not great, but 10,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, people are still too many people. 10,000 is too many. You'll still try to take credit. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you. I'll test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. So if they get down on the ground like a dog and drink it straight out of the water, set them apart. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, separate those out. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. So there were a certain 300 men who took their hand and lapped it, paying attention. So we're from 32,000, 10,000, and now you gotta be kidding me, 300 people. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. That's what you got. That'll work. Now, how many times has God set it up in our lives in the situation and we say, God, this is not going to work. I need more. This is not enough. What you have provided is not enough. I need more. He says, no, you need is exactly what I give you, because if you do it with what you've got, you'll think you did it. I'm going to strip you down where when I show up, you'll know it was me, and you got zero chance of saying it was me and taking glory for it. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now, I think about Gideon in this story, and he's worried about 300 men. These 300 men are what's left of the 32,000. I got no verses in here of these 300 men looking at Gideon saying, we can't do it. Apparently, these are the guys. I want to be one of them. I want to be somebody who says, well, if you told the leader, we can do it, us, we can take them, just us. We trust that he's following you and we're following him. So what's the plan? And then you wait to see what God's going to do. Not, oh, no, I'm out of here too, dude. I didn't mean to drink water that way. I'm so sorry. I was a mistake. I was doing what he did. Now, the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." He said, I'm telling you, I've given you the camp. But if you're a little bit afraid, run down there and just kind of sneak up on them and listen to what they're talking about. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. There's thousands of them. And their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent, struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. We don't have a chance." So that's what's being said in the camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped and returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Now, you say, well, why don't I have this happening to me? We have it everywhere. Read the scriptures. We win. We win. What's not clear about that? You say, what do you mean? I'm having struggles. I'm not winning. Start winning because we win. Read the end of the story. We don't lose. Bad things may happen to us, but even then, we win because you can't be separated from him anymore. Amen. And you have the power to live the life that he asked us to live. So you can't lose unless what? You choose to lose. I'm telling you, you say, oh, no, that's not true. That is a fact. The devil tells you that you can't win because that's a lie, because everything you need to live the life you're supposed to live is in the book. And if you do what's in the book, you win. You say, well, this temptation's too great. The book says you're never going to be tempted above that you're able. There's always a way of escape. There is no excuse as a Christian for not winning. It turns out winning is for everybody. Amen. Keep reading. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say," this is what you scream out, "the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Now you say, well, what's the purpose of these trumpets and these lights? Usually trumpets represent so many troops. Boom, here's a light, there's a trumpet, we're about to get devoured. And they're all screaming, "the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, they're coming for us." So Gideon set the 300 men who were with him, came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "the sword of the Lord and Gideon." And you know it's not depicted here at all? No weapons. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Whose sword is it? It's the sword of the Lord. You say, well, how did they fight? They didn't. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerarah, as far as the borders of Abel Meholah and of Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. Now go to chapter 8, verse 10. Now Zebah and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000. All who were left, all the army of the people of the east, for 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. So what were they up against? 135,000 troops. Most of them killed each other in the confusion, thinking they were being overrun. And they tracked down the remaining 15,000 and killed them. We've got to stop trying to figure out what we can do. this is not about what I can do. I got to figure out what he wants to do and what he wants to do in and through me. And if he says, this is for you to do, he will never give me instructions to do something without backing it up. But if you go out there and get some cockeyed thing going and decide you got an idea and you've dreamed, you know, here we go, and you haven't run that, the Bible is full of these stories where God's people decided, okay, we're going to go do this. They didn't consult with him. Ask him if it's his idea, not just your idea. And you'll save yourself lots of trouble. And then the situations arise where you say, there's no way I can win. He goes, yep, you're right, but watch me win. I can win on your behalf. It's my sword. It's my battle. Let me fight for you. You have to believe that when you go to battle, you're expected from Jesus' perspective to win the battle. This is not, oh crap, I lost one. You don't have to lose any of them. You have the power to win every time. And when the world says, well, winning isn't for everyone, it is for everyone. Everyone who will submit and trust and follow and believe you can win. A few more and then we're done. 1 Corinthians 15. And this whole chapter is about resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection, whether it's a thing or not, and what comes with it. And just for the sake of time, go down to 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Oh, death, where is your sting? If you're such hot stuff, and you can sting us and kill us, where's the sting, big boy? You got no sting anymore. Where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Supposedly you were all that and going to take us all in. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you beat sin, Satan, the grave, everything? It is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your only hope, but there is hope in Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast, immovable. Now you say, well, you were trying to get us all amped up and tell us we can win all the time. Dude, I get it. I get it. We don't win all the time, but don't say you can't. Don't say you can't live the Christian life when you have Jesus on board living it in and through you. You can go down, you got to get up. Now, so-and-so was mean to me. Dude, it's a tough world. It's a battle. Grow up. 2 Timothy 4:7. Read the rest of this, but just this one verse for the sake of this. This is Paul getting near the finish line. Look what he says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Will you be able to say that at the end of your life? And 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God, now look at this, very simple verse, whatever is born of God, in other words, if you're a Christian, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That simple. So you're worried about the world. You say, oh, the world is just too much temptation, too much evil, too much whatever. It's not too much. You have been given faith to believe. And so you wake up and you say, okay, Lord, I believe that this day does not have to go like the rest of my life has gone. Darkness to light, power of Satan to the power of God, death to life. I want some difference. I'd like to win today.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And then Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So is it true that winning isn't for everyone? As it turns out, winning isn't for everyone if they reject Jesus. Because you can't win without him. You can't win in this life or the life to come without him. but winning is for everyone, because the Bible says, whosoever, Titus, whosoever, John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe. Are you a whosoever? Then it applies to you, and you can win.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.